All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Church Online. Come on, those that are in the building, would you just give it up, give God praise? I want to welcome all of you who are at Church Online. It is an exciting day. You can be seated if you are here. If you're in your living rooms, you can also be seated. Listen, it's a beautiful, amazing Sunday morning. It is nice and cool. There's been like a little temperature change out there. It feels pretty awesome. Finally, say amen. It feels a little bit like fall, a little bit like winter, maybe-ish, you know, down here in Florida. But I just want to welcome all of you that are here. I want to say this morning. It is a new day. Amen. Woo! Amen. I am excited to say that. It has more implication than you probably can imagine, but I just want to welcome you and thank you for being a part of the service today. A couple of things I'm going to say in terms of announcements before I get into the actual message is this. That as you heard from Pastor Aldrich in our news this morning, that we are having our impact offering next week. Very, very excited about that. As you saw from the clips and the little videos and the different places where we got the opportunity to distribute those resources, I'm telling you right now, there's nothing greater a feeling, I don't think, than making a difference. And so when we have the opportunity to just give into ministries, nonprofits, and organizations that have great needs that we can do or that we can come together to make a difference in, it's an amazing feeling. One thing I've learned is that we can do way more together than we can ever do apart. And so I really, church, just want to encourage you to just prayerfully consider, hey, God, what would you have us give? In fact, I don't think God is going to say don't give. I think it's a matter of what God says to give. And I would love for you to pray about it. There is no gift too large, obviously, and there is no gift too small. So I don't want you to think that, well, my gift wouldn't matter. Yes, it does, because your gift pairs with other gifts and it becomes greater. It becomes bigger. So I just want you to prayerfully consider how you would give and how much God would lead you to give next week. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a very, very exciting day. I also want to say this, that as you have heard through our online host and then now some people cheering, we do have a handful of people in this room, and I'm honored and thankful that you are here. Let them hear you one more time. Yes, so as you know, if you are on the other side of the camera that I'm looking at, you're watching on some screen somewhere, we have temporarily closed our doors once again. And so I have some people in the building today that were reached out to individually and specifically. We are not sitting on our hands. We are aggressively and actively making plans and preparation to open the doors of our church once again. We want to serve at the capacity in which we are called to serve in. And so let me just say some things very quickly, and then I'm going to get into the message, that I'm learning through some emails and conversation, there is a thought out there among our church that simply isn't true, and I want to mute the thought. And the thought is this, is that some people believe that we close the doors because we are afraid of the coronavirus. Let me just declare something. We look right into your home, right into your eyes. I want to get into your soul right now, okay? We did not close this building because we are afraid of the coronavirus. Nothing could be further from the truth. We walk by faith, not by fear. We are not afraid of what the enemy does. I'm going to tell you candidly why we closed the doors temporarily is because our teams were not strong enough to serve you. That's a sobering truth that some people may not expect to hear. I've even spoke to people actually through the week that said, my goodness, I had no idea everything looked good. I know. It's because we're pros. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. What we found was that when we reopened the doors in June, two things happened that surprised me personally. One thing happened that surprised me is we did not have the engagement with team members come back to serve like we thought we would. The second thing that happened that surprised me was that we had more people coming to be served than I thought we would. So we had an incredible imbalance of consumers versus contributors. I'm being very open and honest. I'm just talking to the church, okay? And so what we did is when we started to see some positive COVID cases popping up in our church, we recognized that the majority of those cases were people on our teams. And I'm just being honest with you. Our staff sat together in hours and hours worth of meetings, and we simply said, our team is giving all they can give. We will not ask them to give anymore. We called a timeout, and what these people in this room are here to do is help us build our teams back up so that when we open the doors of this church church. Once again, we will not hope we are ready. We are going to know that we are ready. Here's what I want to say to you if you're on the other side, if you're in the living room or in your car, on your boat, or wherever you might be watching from. If you are one of the people that say, I cannot wait, I'm ready for the doors to open, I want to get back to my church, this is what I want to say. You can help. You can be a part. And the way that you can accelerate that process is by getting on a team. And here's how you're going to do that from where you are. I want you to go to cotr.live, cotr.live. You're going to scroll to the very bottom of that page, and you're going to click Contact Us. And that's going to pop up something for you, and you're going to put in your information. And in the description, you are going to say, join the team. It's very simple. You're going to say, join the team at cotr.live. What we are going to do, me and the amazing people in this room, is we are going to follow up with you and tell you exactly what your next step is. We are going to start putting people on our teams. We are going to get stable. We are going to get strong. We are going to reopen these doors, and we are going to serve people well. Say amen if you believe it. Amen. Amen. So now you know the strategy. Now you know the mission. Now I can't wait to get to today's message. Are you excited about receiving today? I'm excited about preaching today. I know that some people in a season like this, I'm going to go ahead and disappoint you right out of the gate because you're ready for a Christmas-themed message because we're in December. You're like, give me something festive. Give me something that feels like snowmen and chimneys and fireplaces. I'm not going to do that today. I'm really sorry to disappoint you. Here's what I suggest. Go back tonight later, watch Home Alone, you're going to get all the feels, okay? It's perfect. That's my strategy for your Christmas feels. I want to talk to you today about what is in my heart. That's what I want to do. I want to preach from what's burning on the inside of me. This is what I'm going to do today, and this is how I want to communicate to you, because it's where I am, and I think it's where our church is. And so here's what I want to do. I'm going to start with a question. How many of you in this room, and if you're watching online, I'd love for you to give me like a thumbs up or maybe say that's me in the chat. But how many of you exercise? Where are you at? If you're somebody that you exercise, you're fit, maybe you do some walking or some lifting. I don't know why we're getting laughs. Maybe people are like, I exercise, but I'm not fit. Okay, apparently that's the reality in this room. Actually, right before service, I was joking with my friend, and I just dropped down and did about 5 push-ups, and I got up and I said, I should do more of those. That hurt too much. This isn't right. Some people exercise. And I think it's smart. I actually think there's wisdom in exercising. Some of us do, and some of us don't. But when you exercise, it's just good for you, right? It makes you feel good in a lot of ways. Now, not in the beginning, not when you start exercising, it never feels good. It hurts, it exhausts you. But once you get into a rhythm of exercise, that's when it starts to feel good. It brings your energy level up and all those things. And so as I was thinking about exercising, I was just thinking to myself, right? When I exercise, I like to go to the gym. I like to pick up heavy stuff and put it down. That's what I like to do. I like to lift. I am not a guy, I'm not the cardio guy. You're not going to catch me on the treadmill. It's not my flow. It's not what I do. I might get on a bike and warm myself up to get some blood moving, but I'm not spending 30, 45 minutes in cardio. It's just not my thing. I just prefer to lift some weights. I like it. Now, I don't lift weights. That's why I wore black this morning. It is slimming. Amen. We're fresh off of Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? I was strategic. And so one thing, though, that I cannot stand, of all exercise, there's one thing I cannot stand to do, and that is run. Amen. I got some ameners. Amen. And listen, I know there are people, you're like, oh, it's therapy. It makes me feel good. It frees me. Like, I get it. I totally understand. I'm not knocking you. I would not say don't run. I'm just telling you my preference is not to run. The irony is I can run. I can run a lot. I can run a long way. I can probably wake up in the morning and pass the Army PT test for my age group with really out any preparation. I can just run. It's just not hard for me. I just don't like to run. It's just not my thing. I prefer to do something else. I don't know why. Maybe the Army got all the run out of me that I wanted, but I'm not into it. So the idea of exercise and the idea of running, I want to bring to you a scripture. This is where we're going to start this morning. The Bible says, those who trust in the Lord, they will find new strength. they will soar high on wings like eagles. Watch what people who trust in the Lord do. They run. So it's not encouraging for a guy that doesn't like running. They run. But what really stood out to me in this verse for the first time maybe in my life is that they run, but they don't get tired. And that just, like wait. It just stood out. It popped. They run, and they do not grow weary. They will walk. It's more my speed. But they will not faint. What I recognized in the verse is this. To me, irony, every time I run, I get tired. Every single time. Even when I'm in shape. Even when I was in running condition, when I was done, I was tired because I push. I give it my best. Like, I'm not the guy that goes half speed. I don't know how to go half speed. It ruins hobbies for me because I'm 100% all the time. And so when I try running, I always find myself fatigued. Now, obviously, the Bible is not talking about physical running. It's talking about something different. It's talking about the race of life and running in this life that we live in. And when we trust in the Lord, we can run through the gauntlet of what life brings us and not find weariness and fatigue and exhaustion. This is encouraging. It's encouraging because of other things the Bible says, like this verse, for example. The Bible says, when you go through deep waters, I just want you to notice the first word, not if, not by chance, but when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. Here's some promises. By the way, this is God Himself speaking. And it says, when you go through deep waters, I'm going to be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flame will not consume you. Emphasis is on the word when. Life's hard. It is. It is. Life is not fair. In fact, it's something I've said to my kids all throughout their lives, like, get the word fair out of your vocabulary, out of your mind. If you expect fair, you will live disappointed because life isn't fair. Unfair things happen all the time, constantly. And I can give example after example after example. You've experienced enough of them. I don't need to go into detail there. Life isn't nice. It is difficult. It will kick you when you're down. It will put its foot on your throat. It is a relentless pressure that we are called to live and be in the world, not of the world. Jesus said you're going to have persecution. You're going to have difficulties. Paul records all the things being shipwrecked and beaten and abused and imprisoned. Life is hard. And so when it comes to this pressure of life that I know that we all feel, I know that we all experience, the Bible's saying there's this race that we're in. We're running somewhere, but there's two kinds of people running. There are people that run and don't grow weary, and there are people that run and they're exhausted all the time. To illustrate this, I want to show you two separate videos. We're going to watch a couple videos this morning. I hope this is fun, and I hope this doesn't flop, but I'm trying to create an illustration. Video number one, let's check this out together. All right, we got a guy, he's on a bike, and he's going to go for a nice ride. He's just doing his thing through the woods, got a GoPro on his head, you know, man, beautiful scenery, everything's beautiful. What the... hustle, hurry, ride that thing faster. That ain't gonna cut it, bro. Let's go. Look back. Oh my gosh, that is a huge bear. Now, right or left, right or left, right or left. Okay, right. We'll go right. He's hustling, pushing, got all he's got. Come on, dude. You better hurry. That is a huge bear. Hustle. Look back. He's still there. Go. Running. This is exhausting. Let's just keep going. And right about here, in just a moment, when he says, oh, dear God, I should have took the left fork. I should have. Oh, my gosh, he's still there. And right, yeah, here it comes. Dang it, should have went left. Hurry, get off that thing, run. You better get somewhere. That's the biggest bear I've ever seen. Get behind that tree. That's a good idea. They can't climb or anything. You know, just do your thing. Where is it? What is going on? that is the scariest thing I can ever imagine, all right? And then he's just running for his life now, like, doesn't know what to do. I'm a hunter. Some of you know I love hunting. That's the scariest thing you could ever. Bears scare me, even black bears, Florida bears. Freak me out. I'm not a fan. Do not get near me. I have pistols. I am shooting stuff. I'm just telling you right now, this guy's just out for a nice bike trying to get some exercise when the unfair reality of life starts to pursue him, and he is on the run. I want to show you another video, okay? It's fun. It's fun. Let's watch a second video. A little bit different. We're in Anchorage, Alaska here. Guy's just going to take out his trash. Beautiful snowy morning there. Da-da-da. Just a casual day. Looks like Santa came last night, probably. And, hang on just a second. Hey, that is also a giant animal. I'll just go here and yep. Thanks, but no thanks. Appreciate the visit. But we're not hanging today. Moose with one horn. That's a huge animal. I didn't realize how big they were until I saw him next to a grown man. And he's just sniffing around like, well, all right, I'll go see if the other neighbor's home. And then just walking off. See you later. Yeah. All right. Video one, video two. Now, these are fun. They're fun. I found these on YouTube. I've seen them or whatever, that grizzly bear thing, scariest thing ever. And then the moose. Listen, the moose, I did not recognize the size of these animals, but I want you to recognize there's a difference. Because in one video, the guy's just, he's just out trying to get some exercise, and when danger starts to pursue him, he is just, it's just an all-out run, get away. I bet he was freaked out. I bet his heartbeat, his blood pressure was probably sky high for more reasons than just riding a bike fast. He was being chased by a huge, huge animal. Video number two, we see a guy, he's not out for exercise, he's just doing some chores, he's just out, I got to obviously get the trash out, and he probably has it in that big, like, shed-looking thing because of the bears, bet they're around there too, and so he goes out there, and as he's stepping out to come back into the house, he sees another giant creature that can just smash him, but he doesn't exert a lot of energy. He just turns around, goes back into the little shed, shuts the door, and just waits until he hears this big visitor walk off and check the neighbor's house. Now, these are just simple little videos, and you could draw a lot of conclusions out of them, but I'm trying to make and illustrate a point, okay? And if you're a note taker, you're probably going to write some things down today because this is going to be good for you. Listen to me. This is the point of my message today. It's not what you run from, but where you run to. This is critical. It's really not a matter of what I'm running away from. It's where I choose to go to, because in video one, a guy on the bike had no destination. It was just that life was in pursuit, and he had to go, hustle, hurry, and he's in a different state of mind. Now, recognize you can pick me apart and be like, well, I can pick any two videos. All right, just go with me today, okay? He's on the run for his life with no destination. The destination is just get away from danger, get away from trouble. Where the other guy didn't necessarily have any big plan or whatever, but at the same time, as soon as danger approached him, he wasn't on the run, he just knew where to go. And there's a big difference, because he probably walked back into the house with a lot less heart rate, blood pressure. Guy probably sees a moose all the time. It's probably really not that uncommon, actually, for him to see one. And the only difference, really, if you compare video one and video two, is that one guy knew what he was running away from, while the other guy knew where he was running to. And what I've discovered in my own life is that I find myself too oftentimes, rather than trying to run to my Heavenly Father, I'm just trying to run from the pressure of life. And it's exhausting. It wears me completely out. So what I tend to do is, hey, listen, I just want to get away from stress. I just want to get away from pressure. I'm just going to get away from all the things that are hounding me. I want to get away from the doctor's reports. I want to get away from the expectations at the office. I want to get away from the pressure of my family or the struggle of my bills. I want to get away from the overbearing boss back at work. All I want to do is get away. And if we keep our focus on simply trying to run away, we are going to run tired and exhausted all the time. But when we know where to run to, it changes how we feel. There's a difference in energy. And I just know if you're anything like me, you've probably found yourself in both places, completely exhausted and then completely okay. Like the Bible talks about peace that surpasses understanding. I feel like I get that a little bit. It's like I get that when I know where to run to. I don't understand that when I'm simply running from. Remember, there's a story. It's an amazing story. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 19. It's the story of Elijah. Now, Elijah, if you're not familiar with this story, just go with me. It's the story of Elijah who's doing these incredible things for God, these unbelievable exploits, and he's just had this major, major victory over these prophets of Baal, and really he's kind of on this mountaintop kind of moment. Like emotionally and probably spiritually, but I don't know if you've recognized this in your life. I have certainly recognized this in mine, and particularly in ministry, that mountaintop experiences are usually followed by a decline into a valley. But I've also recognized that things grow really well in a valley that don't grow on the mountaintop. The altitude's different. The fertilization is different. The ground is different, and why I prefer to see it clearly, be on top, enjoy victory, it's the valley sometimes that does the deepest growth in me. And so what Elijah does is he has this mountaintop moment, and he's poured himself out so much that he finds himself with a vacancy. Then he gets a threat on his life from a lady named Jezebel, and the Bible says that he runs off into the wilderness, and he hides in a cave. And the best part of the story to me is that in his hiding, the Bible says, God says this, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. So God meets him there and actually feeds him and nourishes him. It's rather amazing. But, and if you care to study it deeper, in verse 9, God asks Elijah a question. And the question that he asks him is this. He says, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And then Elijah does what I do all too often. He starts pouring out his sad, unfair, high-pressure life story. And he says, oh, I'm doing great things for you, God. I've been serving you faithfully, and I'm pouring my life out, but I'm the only one. It's so sad, and it's so hard, and I'm making light of it because I do the same thing, and all of a sudden I feel alone, and I feel like nobody cares, and nobody sees, and nobody gets it, and nobody cares like I care, which is probably how some of the people on our dream team were feeling when they found themselves serving in places where they felt very, very alone. You can say amen to that. Because I'm going to challenge our church. It's a new day at Church on the Rock. And so Elijah finds himself out in some cave somewhere, and God says, hey, bro, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And then, if you care to study it, you're going to find down in verse, let's see here. I'm going to find it. Yeah, verse 15. God speaks again, and he says, hey, go back. Go back where you were. Go back to the place in which you came from, because what you're doing right now, Elijah, is you're not running to me, you're running from your issue. You're running from your problem. You're running from your fear. Go back. This isn't the spot that you want to be, because this is the place where you're exhausted and alone and weary and ready to give up. Go back. Remember where you were before? Remember where you were having victory before? Remember where I was using you before? What are you doing here? Go back. Go back. And maybe it's you. Maybe it's me that I feel like God is speaking and saying, hey, what are you doing here? Go back. Go back to the place where we were cultivating the relationship. You were safe in my arms. Go back to that place. Don't stay here, because the right kind of exercise is knowing that I have to run. I just know that I'm running to someone rather than from something, because there's different kind of energy and there's different kinds of results. I want you to see this as well. This is King David in Psalm 91. The Bible says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, watch this, whoever dwells there, lives there, that's who's going to be under the shadow of the Almighty. Like, I got you. You're covered by my wings. It's a dwelling place. Too often time we're running from the life pressures, running from our fears, we're running from our worries. David's like, just run to the shelter of the Most High. What are you doing here? Go back. It's the right exercise. Next verse I want to show you is this, Psalm 61. This is King David. Watch what he says. He says, oh God, listen to my cry. Watch what he says. Listen, hear the desperation. Hear my prayer. From the ends of the earth, he says, I cry to you for help when my heart is overwhelmed. Now let's just cut this thing in half and look at something. Come back. Oh, praise the Lord. Come on. Here we go. I want you to notice what he says. When his heart is overwhelmed, he's a long way away. He's running from life, stress, pressure. I'm running from those who hate me. I'm running from those who are persecuting me. I'm running from the unfairness. I'm running from the exhaustion. I'm running from the depression. I'm running from the drug. I'm running from the alcohol. I'm running from the thing that draws me back. I'm running from it, and that's where I find myself overwhelmed. Because it's exhausting to run there because you don't have a destination. In fact, there's no place it doesn't end. You'll never outrun it. Eventually, you're going to be so tired, it's probably going to catch you. But watch what happens in the very next verse. Lead me to the towering rock of safety. For you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. Just look at these verses. Look at the vast difference between the two of them. In one half, we see David recognizing that I'm overwhelmed. I'm exhausted. I'm running, but I'm tired. But he cries out because he's been in the shelter before. He's been in the place of the Most High. Some translations call it the secret place. Secret places sometimes are hard to find. I don't know about you, but like my bank account information, it's a secret. I don't want everybody having access to that. So for me to get there, there's a certain kind of a code and a certain sort of thing. Like I can access it, but it's a secret place. Because no offense, I don't want you in there. Unless you're going to make a deposit, call me. So secret places take energy and they take effort, but you got to know where to go. Not just what I'm running from, because if I get my attention on the bear chasing me and not the shed that's right in front of me, I'm tired. Or I'm safe. And I'm okay. David had been in the shelter before. And so he said, lead me back. Lead me to this place of safety. So I want to talk very quickly as we close. I just want to talk a little bit about, like, what does that look like? And how do I do that? Because perhaps you find yourself where you're like, look, I'm so overwhelmed. I've been running. I'm tired. And I'm just going to tell you right now, emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual fatigue, if you're feeling those things, I'm gonna wager that maybe it's because you're like I've been, you're just running from something. And today, the Lord is saying, hey, just change your focus. What are you doing here? Let's just change our focus. Let's know where to run to. Like, come to me. All you who are weary, and I'll give you rest. Do you see it? There's a difference in our run. The right exercise is not to run from. It is to run to. So let's just see, like, how does that happen? Let's just see. I'm gonna shotgun us through some Psalms. This is where I've been living in my personal study, is in the Psalms. 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So I like the fact that it's like that you're gonna see times of trouble. They're there, they exist. but know that he's our refuge and strength. Look what the Bible says. Let me live forever in your sanctuary. Say it loud. Let me live forever in your, say it with me, sanctuary. Okay? Safe beneath the shelter of your wings. Let's look at another one. You are my refuge and my shield. Your, say it with me, your word is my source of hope. Let's look at some more. The Lord is my strength and my shield. The Bible says, my heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy and with my song, I will praise him. And what we're starting to see is not just that David understands where the safe place is, where the shelter of the Most High is. He's giving clues at how to get there. Some clues at what to do and how to get there. Let's look at some of the things that we've drawn out of the Psalms today. And I've only brought you a few examples of the multiplicity of examples in the Bible. Worship. He's like, hey, with my song I sing. For some of us, this is really important. This is how we run to. In fact, I thought of Jonathan Wilson. He's in this room somewhere. He's back there in the booth. And I thought of you, actually, in this example exactly. I thought of you because I know how much you love worship. And in fact, Jonathan, I'll tell you a little story about one of our amazing team members that serves. So when we are open and doing all our services like we had been, our team gets here early before the sun for a huddle, and we talk about the logistics of the day, and then we get busy serving people. And so anybody that serves on worship and production and any of that kind of stuff, we're here pretty early on Sunday mornings. And so in the area in which where our volunteers and our dream team members park, Jonathan, he's an early bird. Like his normal work gets him up real early in the morning. So he's usually here pretty early. And I like to sit. There's just a handful of minutes. I like to sit in my truck and just pray. It's like my time. It's like the only time I'm really alone. I just like to sit in my seat. I just like to pray. I like to settle in before we get into like the busyness and the pace of the day. And I'm telling you right now, I can't tell you how many mornings I've been sitting in my truck praying, and I don't even need to play any music because Jonathan's car will be 500 yards from my car. And I can listen to the exact song he's listening to in his car, jamming out, worshiping, and I just in my truck. I just worship the Lord. Jonathan's got it going, because worship is what draws him into the safe, the secret place. It's worship that does it. I think worship does it for all of us. We're built to worship, so none of these are mutually exclusive. Another way is God's word or the Bible, okay? So for those of us who kind of grew up in the church, like we call it the word of God, that's the Bible. The Bible is God's word. And I discovered this about myself. It might surprise you, but just recently, I discovered this about myself, that I have found that the primary way that I'm connecting to the Father is just through the word. I need to hear preaching all the time. All the time. For me, It's like Wilson and worship. Like that's probably his primary connector. This one is definitely mine. Like I need to constantly be taking content. I need to hear a 1 hour and 15 minute sermon from Bishop T.D. Jakes in my life. Come on, right? I need to get the latest message from Life Church and Pastor Craig Groeschel to feed my spirit. I need to hear what Pastor Chris Hodges at Church of the Highlands has to say, because it feeds me. And what I've discovered is it's the word, it's the Bible, it's the teaching of it, the listening of it, the hearing of it that brings me to the secret place. That's where the shelter is for me. That's where I go. For others of us, it might be prayer, that you just need to get before the Lord and call on his name and declare some truth and claim some scripture and lean on God and call out to him for some stuff and for some people and to intercede. This could be your connection. Remember, David said, I cry out to the Lord. He said, I find hope in your word. I sing with song. And then the final one is community. Remember, he said, I'm going to be in your sanctuary. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're like, well, gosh, if you want us in the sanctuary, then open the doors. All right, let me just challenge that for a second, because God doesn't stay here. Amen. Where's the temple of God today? It's right here. So you don't need the addresses. You don't need the rows. You don't need the lights. What you need is people. That's where the presence of God is in people. That's why you need your life group. That's why you need to invite. It's like if you're struggling for some community, invite some folks to your house. Say, come do church with me in my living room until we can get on that team and go get those doors opened at our church building. Let's create community now, because you have two choices. You can run from the pressure of how bad you want to be at the building, or you can run to the secret place and create some community. I'm preaching right now. It's just a decision about which way am I going to go. Because all of us need all these things. What I'm going to ask you today is a question, all right? What exercise draws you closest to God? I want you to discover, like, the primary way. So I discovered, and I'm talking about, I was shocked that I was like, I had this epiphany. Like, man, when I'm not steadily intaking the teaching of God's word into my life, it has real bad effects on me. I need to receive it consistently into my spirit. It's what feeds me most. But I need community. I need worship. I need prayer. I can't survive without those things. But what I know is that the fastest route to the shelter is through God's word for me. What's the shortest? What's the best exercise for you? So is it worship? Is it music? Is it time in prayer? What is it for you? Is it community that I've got to, then listen, create community. Go get some community. Like, don't run from the fear of not having it. Run to the idea of creating it. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to throw these back up just for you to kind of, so like, which one is it? What's the right exercise for you? The primary. Because I'm telling you right now, when I read God's word, when I hear God's word, when I study God's word, it drives me to prayer. It causes me to worship. It makes me desire community. It's the best exercise for me, because it produces the things that a connected follower of Christ is going to do. What gets you to the shelter? What are you doing here? Let's change the way we're running so that when we run, we're not tired. Let's run to the Father, instead of running from the pressures of life. Now, as we close here in just the next couple of minutes, I want to talk to those of you that might be watching today and you've never made a decision to follow Christ Jesus. I'm going to answer the question for you today. This is the question. The question is, what's the right exercise? What draws me closest to God? All right, I'm going to point to the answer for you, and here it is. It's that one. It's prayer. It's prayer. And you're like, well, how's it prayer? I don't even know God. How do I pray? Because it's prayer that's going to help you know God. I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to help you with that right now. And then what I want to invite you to do is join our community. Get connected to us. Let us know that you've made a decision today so that we can help you take your next step. Because what you might discover is that your best exercise is worship. Your best exercise may be the word. Your best exercise may be community. Your best exercise may be prayer. But it's going to start with prayer, because for all of us, it started with prayer, didn't it? A moment before the Lord. So that's how we're going to start. So I'm just talking to those of you who are tuning in that have never made a decision to follow Jesus. Or maybe you have, you're just like in that spot where you heard God say today, what are you doing here? Come back. Come back to that place you once were. Listen to me, I'm embarrassed, but honest enough to admit I've been there more times than I would like to even say. I've been far from God. And recognize, I got to go back. I can't keep running from, I have to run to. And so this is your moment to run to the Father. So if you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, or you're making a decision to recommit to following Jesus, I want to invite you to say a prayer with me. I want to ask you, excuse me, in the auditorium, everybody, if you would just bow your heads, close your eyes. This is pretty normal for us at Church on the Ark. We do this every single week. What I want to do is I want to invite you to repeat a prayer after me. I'm going to help you with the words. It's important that you connect to Jesus, because he is the way to the Father. If that's you, I want you to say this prayer, and come on, everybody in the room, I want you to say it with me. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart, forgive me my sin, wash me, cleanse me, make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's give it up for those. Hey, thanks for tuning in.